let's just lay it aside, lay aside every weight, and let's start reading about why Paul and why those Philippians were rejoicing so. And we're going to hit it here in the third chapter tonight. There's a reason for these sufferings. There's a reason for these trials. And it's the reason, praise God, to see him, the out resurrection, to meet him in the air. Let's go ahead and read from the third chapter, verses 1 through 14. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And tonight we're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. And it's probably too much for one lifetime, I would think, let alone one evening. But you know what? By my Spirit, we're going to trust him. And in that, we're going to step right into the intimacy of knowledge, that I may know him. Now, last week's knowledge, if you remember, was the mature, fully grown awareness of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was that grown up, that height, as the Word of God says, so surpassing that nothing can compare, even unworthy to think or utter in comparison of knowledge. These are the ones, brothers and sisters, that are mature, fully grown up in the comprehension of Jesus Christ, and all through the empowering of grace through the Holy Spirit. These, again, are the saints who are fully aware that they have been made Lord of all, as it says in Galatians 4:1. They've grown up into it. They've grown up into the things that Jesus Christ has laid out in our life. And brothers and sisters, tonight, though, as we enter into this, that I may know him, this is the double portion. Not only the deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge of him, such as belongs to the more advanced, the mature, the complete and finished ones, but along with that, the intimacy that only a mate, a spouse, a readied wife shares with her beloved. And you'll notice here, it's all him. Everything is him, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There's a type here that she only has eyes for him. You'll notice throughout the scripture too, as he talks about her, he only has eyes for her. It's so wonderful, this love match, these ones that are so one. Praise God. They're glorying in one another. And that's the beauty of this. And that's the ultimate, as we see that he is her glory and she is his glory. They truly are one in every way. And it's in that complete submission and love that she has become one in knowledge. This is a life of one with Him. And we're going to see it here in these three beautiful glories that it talks about in verse 10. And as we get into this, it's really amazing to think these three glorious steps that the Word of God is bringing out here in verse 10. If you look at this, there are three glories of really winning Him to finish our course. But if you look at them in their order, they're exactly the opposite order for what Jesus Christ did. See, you think about this as it's saying for us, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He was conformable unto death. He suffered and died for us. And then the power of His resurrection completed and sat Him at the right hand of the Father. I think it's so grand and so wonderful that God brings it out this way for us, brothers and sisters, because we can't do anything unless it's through His life. We can't do anything unless it's through His power. And I'm so thankful to God that we cannot be obedient, we cannot be conformable unto death, we cannot be anything without the power of Jesus Christ. And it's not just power, it's His resurrection power. And I'm so grateful to God to think about this. You think about this wondrous resurrection power. Satan and every evil satanic force did everything to keep Him in that grave. Amen? Amen. This wasn't just being brought back to life, brothers and sisters. This was becoming sin for us who knew no sin. He entered the depths of hell. Praise be to God. And in this wonderful death, we have life, and we know that. But brothers and sisters, there was nothing that could keep Him in that grave. Love was there. Truth was there. The will of the Father had already spoken that He would rise again in 3 days, and He did. And isn't it wonderful that it speaks of the risen Savior? He has risen. Praise be to God. I think about how many like to keep Him on that cross. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm thankful to God. He's off of that cross. That work is finished. It is done. And in that finished work, we have complete victory. I'm thankful to God that Satan is taken care of. Satan's fate is already sealed. Amen? Praise God. We know, and I'm thankful to God that we know. He doesn't know yet that he has a little while. Do you know that? He doesn't. We do. Isn't that wonderful? His fate is sealed, and we know that he has but a little time, and that Lucifer is used at the expense of the Lord for the perfecting of the saints. Isn't that just so precious to your heart? See, that's why we're not afraid of the enemy. We're not afraid of Satan in Christ. We understand God's perfect plan. We understand that God appoints the wicked for that day of evil. Do you know that? It's absolutely that perfect. There's not an accident. There's no oops. There's not just a coincidence. There's none of that. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. He saw these things, and these things will come to pass as we run the race to finish our course. And brothers and sisters, it's wonderful that this same power, this resurrection power, is ours in His life in us. We are enabled through Christ Jesus, aren't we? We're strengthened through Christ Jesus with a power surpassing everything. And it's a power that allows us to superabound in every good work. I think about the different trials, about the prayer requests, about as the different ones are expressing tonight. I appreciate the sincerity before the Lord. There's a lot of heavy hearts. Praise the Lord, though. Through all of that, He's already given the provision through the power of His resurrection that you will superabound to every good work. Why not let it go? Why not let that victory that He has already secured for us, Lord, reign? Amen? Amen. Reign. Reign in this for me, Lord Jesus. You've already provided it. Let's read about the power of this resurrection in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. And maybe you'll get a glimpse here of why Paul was so excited about it. That's Ephesians 1, and we'll begin reading in 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? This is to you. You believe it. According to the working of his mighty power, this is beyond dynamite, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, but only in, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. See, it is done, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It is done. It is finished. But yet, it is not given as of yet, because he doesn't have his bride. Isn't that wonderful? So we're so thankful. We're so thankful that we can rest in this finished work, brothers and sisters. And again, we see why Paul wanted to know this and to enter into this. See, this was just like the type in Moses. It said that Israel knew his acts. They saw the acts. They saw the things that God could do. They marveled at it. There was some rejoicing. They were happy. But mainly it was for the quick benefit to them. But Moses wanted to know the ways. And God made known the ways to him, the very ways of the heart of God. And it was all love. And Moses saw how God and knew how God loved his people because Moses received that love. It wasn't this education that he sat through. He received the very heart of God. And this is what God is asking us. Do we really want to enter into this to know the very heart in the matter? See, we can imagine, because we know God's love for us, that we can receive the heart of love that lived and died and rose in the power of the cross. And the reason that we can receive this, brothers and sisters, is not because I desire it, not because I want it. It's because it's the will of the Father. Amen? Do you see that? It's because it's God's will, it's God's word, it's his plan, it's his purpose. He's given the provision and he's given the power for it. And that's what's so wonderful, is it's all there from the Father to take and to just receive and allow it to grow. Now, this is the power of his love. I'm so grateful to God that, again, it all comes back to his great love. He gave his son in love. He gave his son to a world that he would know that would reject his son, abuse and spit and praise God. How the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And praise the Lord, it was that same love that allowed him to rise from the grave. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just so thankful to Jesus that it is the power of his love. Now think about this. That power of love, that's God's plan. He said, I'm giving my son to bring many sons to glory. God gave his son because he so loved the world. Amen? We know that. He loves us. So this power, brothers and sisters, that brought him from the grave is the very love of God. Is there anything that could have stopped that? No, because it's God's word. It was God's will. It's God's love. And you think about how unstoppable God's love is in us. That's why, brothers and sisters, God help us, never give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on one another. I'm not talking about the flesh you. I'm talking about Christ in you. I'm talking about Christ in me. By God's grace, may we tarry. Can't you tarry just a little while longer? Amen? Yeah. Isn't that precious how God, he came to save those ones that were, again, needy and despised and lost. Can you imagine that? I was sharing with a brother, and we were rejoicing this week about how even he has all those sheep, if one is lost, he goes out to find him. He loves them so. Don't you think we should love one another like that? Praise God. Well, we should, but more importantly, we can. Because the love has already been given. It's been given to us and allowing it just to grow up is such a wonderful, powerful thing. But here it is. It's the power to prevail through anything. It is His force and power for us that no one or no thing can be against us. See, God loves us. He loves His children. He even calls us the apple of His eye. He said, I will perfect that which concerns you. Even when you are not faithful, even when you believe not, I abide faithful. That's how He loves us. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So in that, brothers and sisters, it's not hanging our hat. It's just believing by God's grace. It's His word. He's for me. He's always for me. It doesn't mean that He's going to be in back of sin in my life. If sin is reigning, He's not going to condone that. But He's always going to love me. And He's always for me. He's always waiting as that wonderful father for the prodigal son. Will He come today? Will He look back at the kingdom? And in Jesus' name, praise God, I'm there. That's all He's looking for. And isn't it wonderful, again, you think about, oh, well, this so-and-so, he needs to prove himself, and she needs to really make herself known that she's serious this time. Aren't you thankful the father did not do that for the prodigal? He didn't ask him a thing, did he? He just ran to embrace him, to say, thank you, son, that you made the step to come to me. And how wonderful that the friends, it's just like the lost sheep, the true friends, the brethren, the body, they rejoice that he found the lost sheep. God help us. I am and I stand amazed how quick our flesh is to judge. And it is true. And somehow, some way, we think proving and evidence and all of these different things. Let me tell you something. It's the Word of God, and it's Paul's gospel specifically that judged the secrets of men. All right? So in that, I think we need to love. Huh? And love more. And by God's grace, have Him enlarge our hearts to even love more. And how wonderful it will be. And I believe God is doing that. And that's why, brothers and sisters, is we were rejoicing. I can't even remember when it was, but thank God we're rejoicing pretty much all the time. But rejoicing in His work in the saints. And how could we not? That there is an increase of love in the meeting. Praise the Lord. They'll know they're Christians because of their love one for another. Not because of the checks and balances and did this one do this and did that one do that. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful you come to church. Amen. Be thankful anybody comes to church. This is God's house. I'm thankful we learn to honor it and respect it and all. But you know, some people might be going through hard times. People might not know any better in a sense. Be thankful that they come to church. Don't let people bother you. Really don't. We're here in God's house. Rejoice that people are coming. Amen? That they come to hear, hopefully, the Word of God. Even if there might be a different intention, the Word of God still doesn't return void. What do you think of that? Huh? Praise His name. It's amazing what He... Well, I can just testify it's amazing with what He did with me. And it's amazing what He's doing in my life. And I know how quick I am to unbelief. I know how quick I am to fail. By God's grace, and now He knows it more, I want you to understand these things. But when we truly are sincere before the Lord and how needy we are in everything, I hear these different ones saying about this sin or that, you know, maybe it's with alcohol or drugs or, you know, problems with promiscuity, homosexuality, whatever all of these different things may be. Let me tell you something, and how this world is coming at us. Everything, by the way, did you know, is genetic. And it is. It's every bit of it is in me, and you're right. It's in Adam. But for the grace of God. Do you realize that? So do I agree with all that? You know it. Every bit, every possibility, capability to sin is right here. It's right here. Okay? And you too. All right? There's none that follow after him. There's none that seek him. It has to be the power of his resurrection that does it. And this is why we can come and be thankful for him and Christ in us. And I'm so thankful for Christ in you. And I am. Praise the Lord. All right. But this power, brothers and sisters, is his unstoppable love. It's a force that is greater than any force. And it's not just a force, but it's a power. And it's not just a power, it's a force and a power that is for us. Isn't that precious to know? Isn't that just absolutely awesome to think that this love is for you? Everything is this wonderful love power for us. That we know that it's so for us that nothing can be against us. That this all-powerful love is enabling in us to prevail. The victory is already at hand. Amen? And we know that the way of escape has already been made. So much so that as we let this work in our lives, it'll land us right in the midst of the throne with him. Praise the Lord. Now, and as with everything in the Word of God, even the order of these words are of great importance. Know this in the Word. Without one before the other can't happen. It's just like in the Word of God, where it says many times, grace and peace. We know, and you know in your life, you'll never have peace without grace. You can read the Word of God till you're blue in the face. You can sing till you pass out. If it's not received in grace, you're not going to have peace. And you know it. We rejoiced on Sunday about the love of God, didn't we? And I pray we rejoice every time we come about the love of God. The love of God gives me faith. It gives me the most holy faith. It gives me such an intimate faith. A faith that you have in type, maybe with your parents, maybe with a spouse. So wonderful that you know that you're loved in a sense. But even that love can fail. But God's love never fails. And that is what is so wonderful here, is this wonderful, wonderful order of everything in the Word of God. Without the power of the resurrection imparted and imputed to us, there would be no way that we would willingly and joyfully suffer for his sake. Amen? Amen. See, it has to be the power of his might, truly. Now that's even, we're talking about the level of where he wants us by God's grace. That wonderful Holy Spirit enabling. And again, it's through love. But that's what the power of his resurrection is. He rose in love. He died in love. He rose in love. And it is that love, brothers and sisters, from the power of the resurrection that causes us to truly, willingly, and joyfully suffer for Christ's sake. And it is. You would be nuts otherwise. I am so grateful to God that we truly can look at the eternal, that we can look at the everlasting, that we know that our riches are in being patient. Our riches are in enduring, waiting, brothers and sisters, and truly being content in whatsoever state, in wherever he has me. God, this is perfect for my life. I'm who I am. By the grace of God. And it's for the work of grace in this life. Not trying to be somebody else. But just being me. Christ in me. Allowing this vessel to receive all the treasure. Praise God. And built up in this life. That truly will bring forth the praise and honor and glory to the Father. But it is imperative, brothers and sisters, that we recognize that it is the power of the resurrection that gives us the willingness to suffer. And it's in these sufferings that we attain unto the out-resurrection that it speaks of here in this wonderful 11th verse. Now you think about this out-resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. It's the first trump. It's that we may meet him in the air. It's that we may apprehend. As we read last week, it's to have and to hold in matrimony our Lord and Savior. If we are ever to finish the race with joy and win him, the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it's going to be in suffering together with Christ. Amen? Is there a suffering that you want to deny or not to allow him to work in your life that would be worth missing God's best? I know that's a silly question because I know each and every one of us would say no. Truly, in comparison to that, there is no comparison. Now we're back to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And that's what God's perfect plan and purpose is for us, is to rule and reign with his Son. God wants his double portion. And it's going to be in his daughter-in-law. It's going to be in that goodly pearl. It's going to be in that readied wife for his Son. And he wants this, brothers and sisters, but God must have his way in our lives. We're talking about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God raises up the mature sons. That's this word perfection over and over in the Word of God. It's maturity. It's full grown. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The readied Shulamite. Praise God. We know that the type is there. She had a little sister. She could think of marriage. She could get excited about things. But she wasn't of full age. She had not come into the excellency of the knowledge, the fullness of the capacity, so that she could truly, willfully, and joyfully enter into these joint sufferings with the husband. Now that's a step, brothers and sisters, and it's called God's best. It's called the goodly pearl. It's called the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And there is a perfection of yielding here in verse 10 that transforms us from glory to glory into his very image. Amen? Amen. You think about the last 3 years of Christ's life, and especially as it condensed down, the sufferings. Amen? Amen. When he was ready to be offered, all of the sufferings that were transpiring and increasing at an increasing rate. What's going on in your life? Are you despairing of your life even as Paul? Praise the Lord. You might just about be ready. He said, not unto me only, but how about to you that love his appearing? Isn't that wonderful? To you, all of them also, to me. Praise God, his grace has me loving his appearing. And see, this transformation, brothers and sisters, is going to result into a perfect image. It's the image of Jesus Christ. The four living ones fulfilled in us, filled with all the fullness of God. Now do you see why we can come here heavy-hearted and we can still rejoice? It doesn't matter. I look to reality, and the reality is the Word of God. This all is going to pass away. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's not about our relationships here. It's not about our job here, our financial situation here. It's not about how well I was liked or disliked. It's about Christ in me. It's about what did by His grace I yield to and allow him to build in my life. Did I allow him to take this vessel and to will and to do of his good pleasure? Or was I fighting with society? Or was I just going to have a chip on my shoulder against the world? Or I have to make my mark here. I have to have people listen to me. God's been even dealing with me more and more, especially the last couple of weeks. Son, just be still. Be so slow to speak. And he's shown me with some people that I admire so greatly, some wonderful saints that have spoken just a little bit quickly as of late. And not to be in judgment, but to say, thank you, Jesus. You show yourself mighty, and you will. It's marvelous what He does. Don't you love to stand back and watch the handiwork of the Lord? See, all we can do by His grace is truly preach the Word. Just preach it. He brings the increase. You're not going to change me. I'm not going to change you. But we sure can supply one another with some sweet truth and love, can't we? Yeah. See, that's the beauty of it, brothers and sisters. And that's why we can rejoice and be so thankful, is there's no respect of persons to God. And as we get the right heart, that's when we're thankful and encouraged, whatever it is. Just a step. My goodness, let's really meditate on the good report and the lovely things. It's time to get off ugliness. It's time to distance ourselves completely from these evil thoughts. And really, I'm talking about condemning and judging. That's why these brothers and sisters lived such a joyful existence. And they were in a place where they were so despised. Again, I go back to Philippi at this time. It wasn't a pleasant place for a Christian. We've still got somewhat of a pleasant place for a Christian. It's decreasing. Amen. And it's okay. We don't have to despair. Brothers and sisters, I pray for my country. Don't get me wrong. I pray for my leaders. But I don't need this to be a country that seeks after God for me to win His best. It doesn't have to be my purpose and intent for the United States of America to continue on with the Lord. I pray it does. I pray this will be a sheep nation. I really do. But that's not my concern. God has that. I pray for this nation. But what He said is, son, preach the Word. All right. I'll get letters. But this fellowship of His sufferings, I want you to listen to what this word fellowship means. It's so awesome. It means fellowship with intimacy. The word is intercourse, a gift jointly contributed. See, both parties are fully willing here when you enter into this fellowship. We already know that He was fully willing. Praise God. Couldn't help but be. But fully willing for the will of the Father. Father, Thy will be done. Now, to truly ask ourselves in each and every one of our hearts, are we willing to be still in our life right now? Are you content with the pain in your body? Are you content with the pain in your family? Are you content with your financial situation, with or without a job? Now, God knows what you want. Do you understand that? God knows, and we are to bring our petitions to Him. We have an advocate. But the greatest thing that we should be praying for is, Father, Thy will be done. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to get us on a holy trip. You're already holy. Isn't that wonderful? You're righteous. Isn't that precious? But we're talking about the very mind of Christ. And what is His mind? Father, have Your way. Father, I want to be willing. And I understand it's got to be the power of His resurrection, Your Son, that's going to make me willing. Cry out to Him, amen. But I pray we're crying out, Lord, let me be content in whatsoever state. And I know it's there. You know why? Because I know that seed's there. Same seed, praise God, each and every one of us. But that's the willing heart. Remember what it said there in Philippians chapter 1, 20, verse 29. For unto you, be attention here, this is speaking to you. All right? For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. See, this wasn't from anybody else except Your wonderful love from Christ. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now do you remember? It's given. Isn't that wonderful? This is a gift. You hear the word due benevolence. Those are the acts of loving kindness between a husband and a wife. This is exactly what this is. I've heard it said many times, well, see, you're required. I don't like that even in a natural marriage. Well, you're just sit there and grin and bear it, son. You'll get through in 50 years. See, my wife's not here, so I can talk very freely. But it's not like that at all, is it? No. You love. I'll even tell on myself today. And she took a picture of it. And thank God it wasn't the first time. I said, honey, I'm going to vacuum for you today. And she had to take a picture and send it to Tammy Jones. And she said, you don't have to. And I said, I know I don't have to, but I want to. Now, it's just because you love. And I didn't want anything in return or anything like that, honestly. I just love her. Isn't that weird? Now, see, this is what he's talking about here. These are the gifts. And you embrace them, don't you? Come on. You embrace them. Not because of you, because of grace that's empowering in your life. Yeah. These hardships and heartaches, you can embrace them in light of faith, in light of the love of God. You can say, thank you, Jesus. You can. You can. As hard as it is, no matter what it is, we can say, thank you, Jesus. Because we know. See, we know him. We know why. We do. We're not wondering. We're not guessing. He wants something for us. He wants us to have his very best. He sees us. He sees us as his bride. That's truly it. That's what he sees, the potential in each and every one. See, oftentimes we'll look at each other and say, oh, well, that one's a flunky and this one's great and this one's that. He sees his life in you. And that's all he sees. And that's called full potential. And he looks at his father and he knows that his father's will is for that life. Absolutely. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's there and taking the things, ready to take the things of Christ and show them unto you. Make them real in your life. It's beyond, it really is beyond, brothers and sisters, that we can adore these things, that we can accept these greatest offerings of love from the Lord. This heart that he's opening up to us, that jointly in every way, he's showing us we're one with him. And entering in, praise God, to this knowing that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That my power can perform and will perform this in us, if you'll let me. Now you talk about, again, a double portion to the Father. You think about the joy. The joy of being so completely pleased in his Son. The finished work on the cross. And now seeing a dual delight in his daughter-in-law. A wife that truly has finished her course too. Amen? Do you see the parallels here in that life? That she says it is worth it all. It's okay. It's actually more than okay. I want a vacuum. Do you get it? By God's grace, I want to endure. I want to wait. I want to be, as that sweet Jewish wife, to be sleeping with my clothes on. Just readied for you to come. And brothers and sisters, what a perfect pair they are, because they've become one in every way. It becomes her passion to be with him. Now, you think a lot of people and a lot of Christians, oh, they say, oh, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. But not just in glory. I'm talking about the apprehending that Paul's talking about here. That's apprehending him now. 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 His wife hath made herself ready. Now, how does she apprehend him now? By allowing the sufferings. That's how we enter into that oneness, that true oneness of knowing the heart of him. He willingly and joyfully went to the cross and died for us. Are we too willingly and joyfully taking up your cross? Huh? Or do you hate your life? God help you not to hate your life. Love who you are in Christ. Love that it had to be that way to bring you to the Lord. It had to be that way to bring you to a Bible study on a Wednesday night. It had to be that way to have you rejoicing in the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can we receive that from the Lord? Or am I just this isolated event that, God, you made a mistake over here? I know better than you. It should have been different. What do you think? Huh? And I don't love my life for what I've accomplished. I don't hate my life for what I passed by. We read tonight, we're not going to get there, but I pray we're already there, forgetting those things which are behind. The Lord's been bringing it back and back again. It's about now. It's about now. And it's not about me, whether high me or low me. It's about Christ in me. And that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I start to glory in that and in him. And then I soar through this life. Not predicated again upon my highs and lows. Lord, I'm just passing through. I understand this. I'm doing it heartily as unto you, because you're supplying that good work. You are. You're supplying it. But Lord, you already know the outcome. You already know if I'm going to get that job or if I'm going to lose that job. You're going to know the absolute penny in my bank account. You already know, Lord, exactly how my kids are going to be and all of these different things. You know that. And by God's grace, you just told me to abound in hope and to pray. Now, are you kept or what? That's what I say. I mean, do you see? Do you see that you're seated together with Christ? Yeah, I do. I believe you do. You see that. A lot of people say, oh, well, what do you mean? I'm just going to lay down and just wait for the Lord? No, you're going to get up and you're going to run. You're going to live abundantly. You're going to go out and do things even beyond what you ever thought you could do. Hmm? Yeah. And I've done a lot of things. I've flopped in the biggest ways I've ever, beyond my wildest dreams. Failed in an explosion. But he knew I needed each and every one of those things in my life to bring my heart to a knowledge of loving him and trusting him. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I've got to hurry along. But brothers and sisters, it is her passion to be with him. And it's so wonderful, this inheritance that is being brought to us. As the sons of God, there's such a requirement in patiently waiting for it and enduring. And it is. But it's not a requirement and said, well, I've got to do this. It's a privilege that we wait, because we know that in due time we'll be exalted together with him. It's just a matter of time. It's coming. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. if we suffer together with Christ, we'll also be glorified together with Him. To become the lover of His glory. Do you love His glory? I love His glory. See, I don't have any. And you don't either. But praise God, He is glory. And in that, I love His glory. And He bestows that glory upon us and in us. And how thrilling, we become like Him. And that brings us to the third of these glories that's wrought in this bride. Made, shaped, molded, clay completely in His hands. Every bit of self. And I love this. He was showing me how He's molding us. And He's pressing out all of me. He's pushing it out with the Master's touch. The infilling of the Spirit is getting rid of self. Made conformable, not just in thought, actions, or pieces, but this word conformable actually means to receive the same form. We become like Him, don't we? Praise God. I'm so thankful. Conformable, even unto His death. He'll do these things in our lives. He'll do it so much that we become so much like Him that when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. That we're going to have a glorified body like unto His own glorious body. Aren't you thankful that it's His workmanship? Isn't it evident that it has to be then? See, that's the beautiful thing. If I'm going to be like Him from glory to glory, I know that glory's His. I know that I'm His workmanship. And praise God, it's got to be grace. And it's going to be like Him. There is that precious, wonderful, perfect pattern, and it's all Jesus Christ. And it's this wonderful love story that He keeps giving us, the same thing over and over. Let me grow it up in you. You have the seed, you have the life, you have the love, it's all there. Let me grow the fully mature Shulamite up in you. The virtuous woman, the readied wife. Galatians 2:20, in full maturity and absolute perfection. It's also known as Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. The life I live, I now live by faith in Him. That's my life. That's your life. It's the Word of God. This is who we are. We can try to be something else. We can try to do it another way. We can try to think we're going to back in this thing. It doesn't work that way. We live by faith of the Son of God because He loved us and He gave Himself for us. And this is the eye, this is the vision that He gives us. And notice here, brothers and sisters, it's in His death. Praise God. The victory that we have is all because of His wonderful death. His death gave us all of this love potential. His death gave us this greatest love that we have for Him because it was the greatest expression of His love. And we die in our bodies daily, which is so wonderful. We glory in the newness of life that His death brought to us. And how precious that this death, signifying truly the completeness of obedient love to the Father, the complete confidence and trust in the power of the Father's will and purpose. That's pretty neat, isn't it? I mean, it is. It's His will. It's His purpose. It's His plan. And all God has asked us to do is to let. To cease from our own works and to allow this rest and this confidence that God will do it. It's way beyond, though He slay me, will I trust Him. Praise God to be used for His purpose, for His benefit. I was thinking how in the death of His Son, it brought many sons to glory. And yet, just think in our surrendering to Him, that He even might supply through us to encourage one to win His best. Can you imagine that? I mean, isn't that wonderful? Was thinking and being encouraged as I was speaking to that brother today. I know he hadn't heard of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But to be able to supply something like that to someone. I know that's Christ. But how wonderful that, Lord, Your grace is using me. How wonderful to think that, God, there would be that purpose that You placed in my life. See, only Jesus can do that. And then we're going to stop tonight. And we'll kind of woe it here at the 10th verse. But all of it, why? Why? As Paul said, if by any means. It's the purpose of it all. It's absolutely the mark for the prize. It's that out resurrection. It's to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to read about this and rejoice if the Lord tarry in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the alive saints, Those full overcomer Smyrna saints, they arise from their graves. And praise be to God, it is the first trump. And the Philly saints will arise and take flight. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're talking about meeting Him in the air. The awake, the readied, the ones that are full of oil. Praise God. Loving His appearing. Watchful, full of eyes. All of those wonderful attributes about a wife that has made herself ready. And all do, and all brought back because of the power of the love of God that raised Him from the dead. You got it. You have that power. So all I can say is this: you can, and I can do all things. I can abide faithful through Christ who strengthens me. All right? You're a little heavy tonight? That's okay. Do you believe that He has and He saw that for you tonight? That's okay. You're a little tired? That's okay. It is. It's all right. Meditate on Him. Start learning to be thankful in whatsoever state. Anytime you're thinking of the Lord in whatsoever state, be thankful, be content, be happy. There's gain going on in your life. You've been hurt by someone and you're on your knees and saying, "Jesus, I'm hurting." Be thankful. Otherwise, you may have not ever been on your knees in the first place. We can't lose because He already won. It's exciting. I'm excited for Christ in us. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise His name.